Jamal Bowman on camera because he can't use his freaking cell phone and say, hey, guys, I'm stuck here. I don't know which doors to use. I don't want to set off fire alarms and panic everybody in the freaking building. What does he do? He pulls down the fire alarm, Mike. Welcome to another Financial Guys podcast. I'm Mike Hayflick, along with Mike Spiraza. Mike, Bills victory.
Yes, that was a good one. That felt good. big win. 28 points, I think it was.
Yeah.
Just dominated from about the second quarter on, so that felt good.
What a good performance on both sides.
Yep.
And the lines. I mean, defensive line, offensive line. Just got to pray now for Trey White. Boy, you really feel bad for a guy like him. He seems like one of the more likable, kind of better teammates you could ever have. And looks like he went down with an Achilles injury, maybe?
Yeah, honestly, brutal. Terrible. That's the problem with that sport. We all know it, right? It is physical. It is dangerous. And these things happen.
Brutal.
Yeah.
Just brutal. But go Bills. Good victory. Now off to London to play the Jacksonville Jaguars. So, Mike, should we be celebrating? Congress avoids a shutdown. Woohoo! Kevin
Yay.
McCarthy.
Yay.
Kevin McCarthy cannot get his own side of the aisle aligned. So he basically has to abandon that idea and get Democrats to agree to 45 more days, Mike. So, no, I think November 17th is now the date that we could face the same nonsense again.
I guess I get confused, right? I mean, why must this happen all the time? This is not the first time in history, you know this, right? I mean, this happens all the time. And, you know, for some of these things, it shouldn't feel like we're, like, debating on where to spend money, right? Like, it should be America, right? It should be the issues in America. And I know that I'm making it seem very simple and it's complex. But it just seems like the government can't run on a budget, Mike. We've seen it in New York State. They're how many months late every year in filing the budget for the following year? It's absurd. It's sad. And the part of the problem is you have spineless leaders like Kevin McCarthy in there that can't get anything done.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, these things happen, right?
Yep. And this is what one of the people on his side of the aisle, Rep. Wesley Hunt, a Republican out of Texas, had said, "We got to break the fever. This is how business has been conducted for the past 33 years in this country, which coincidentally are close to 30 trillion. No, Wesley, 33 trillion and counting. That's just my correction there. If we don't break this right now, if you don't do this right now, it's going to be business as usual next year and the year after and the year after." And I agree with him. I mean, you talk about being inept. I mean, you have all the time in the world. I mean, what is he doing right now? Like right now, they should be back in Congress doing what they've got to do for the next time, because you know this is going to happen again. Oh my gosh, we're coming up on the deadline. Oh, they're going to shut down all the non-essential parts of government. You know what I say? Let the government shut down. Like, actually let it shut down. Hold some of these people accountable for how bad they are at their jobs.
Well, I agree with that. And I also think, you know, you have the other side that's like, if you shut down government, you should have to give up your salary because these mm-hmm. are hardworking people.
Yeah.
Okay. I get that. But sometimes when you need to get things done, when businesses, Mike, mm-hmm. if we don't agree on a price, let's just make an example. They have a construction business and we have a bid.
Right.
You want to spend this and my bid price is this. We don't work together, so we lose that money, right? Like,
that's
how negotiating works, and you have to do that sometimes. At some point, America has to stop bleeding money. It has to happen, right? Like, so whether it's
a shutdown,
whether it's firing people, whatever, we have to stop bleeding trillions of dollars per year, because that's what's happening, and that's a real problem in America.
No doubt. And so just get ready for more nonsense in Washington, because this is what they do. They you know, they panic. Not quite panic like Jamal Bowman, but we'll get to that in a minute. So this is what they do, though. They don't really do their job. They don't spend our money. This is our money, as Lomas always says. You know, he talks about this when you talk about Social Security. You know, you talk about this when you're talking about federal tax dollars, state tax dollars. That's all our money. I think people start to forget. If you actually work and you look at your paycheck, or if you are independent and you have to write those quarterly tax payments, it makes you almost sick to your stomach because you see exactly what happens in Washington and how our state, New York, and how the government spends our money. Just makes you sick to your stomach.
Yeah, and it doesn't stop either, right? They find a new cause to keep spending it. So it's not like, oh, okay, this is almost over so we can save some money over here. It's like, nope, here's another cause. Let's spend another $1 trillion over there.
Yeah.
You know, and Mike, you know, Matt Gaetz is taking a beating right now because he's actually fighting it a little bit. But we need more of that. We need people to understand that we can't just, again, you cannot expect to be a winning country when you're bleeding money and you're really upside down. Right. We have nothing of value here in terms of we don't do any energy stuff here anymore. Right. We're not leading the energy world. We're not leading the manufacturing world. We're not leading the military world anymore. We're not leading the education world. Like,
no.
We're not leading anything anymore. And we're bleeding money more than probably most countries in the world, if not all.
And Kevin McCarthy is not being a leader in the House. And Matt Gaetz actually wants to get him out. Yeah. Do you think that's going to go anywhere?
No, because I don't think there's enough that will agree with Matt Gaetz is the problem.
Symbolic, like lots of things that happen in Washington are. Yeah. They're symbolic. I had to put my foot down. I couldn't let this go on anymore. And then nothing happens. So here's something that did happen. Jamal Bowman, right on video camera, pulls a fire alarm, Mike. So from the moment you enter an elementary school, even before kindergarten, because you're probably there before you go into kindergarten to check out the building. Maybe you have older siblings that have also gone to the same school you're going to attend. Even in like nursery care centers, daycare centers, there's fire alarms, right? They're all over. They're red. They say do not pull, like pull in case of fire, right? Jamal Bowman on camera. Because he can't use his freaking cell phone and say, hey, guys, I'm stuck here. I don't know which doors to use. I don't want to set off fire alarms and panic everybody in the freaking building. What does he do? He pulls down the fire alarm, Mike. So AOC, of course, got to defend our squad member and then just throw it back at people and say, well, they really should worry about George Santos. What do you think should happen to Jamal Bowman except for being like the biggest idiot and publicly being seen as the biggest idiot, at least at that moment in Washington?
Well, he'll probably be applauded by the left like he already is right now. You know, like, oh, he just made a mistake. You know, he was just trying to get back in the building to work, you know, like, okay, sure.
he was hurrying. He felt desperate for the American people. Yeah. The government was about to shut down. Oh, my gosh. He would have done anything to get back into the.
What a hero.
He's a hero.
I mean, what a joke.
Did you see him? He did it all by himself, Mike. Yeah. He didn't even have a staffer do it.
Yeah, he is a hero. Not all heroes wear capes, Mike.
Oh, no.
I mean, just disgusting. And again, I think it was Donald Trump Jr. that said this on Twitter. But, like, to me, you're talking about insurrectionists who are in the Capitol that day, and it caused chaos and panic. Like, this can cause chaos and panic, too. If you're look, there's a reason why you can't do that without being arrested in a mall or like a department store or whatever, right? Like, you can't just be pulling fire alarms for no reason. And again, I'm not going to make this a big deal, like, oh my God.
No.
But it's like you do it like an idiot, and then you make an excuse like, oh, I thought, you know, sometimes the doors are jammed. What? So you pull a fire alarm?
Yeah, you don't do that. And you also don't, like, pick up a sign and smash through the window.
Right.
Right? Or you don't you don't run and do a running start and try and knock the doors down yourself. You likely have a phone, or you go maybe to a different exit, or you go back, you retrace your steps, however you got back in into that office building. I mean, just so stupid. He says, I thought the alarm would open the door. Yeah, it might, and it's actually going to send all sorts of fire department, you know, personnel to the building because you're just an idiot.
We have this here, Mike, where in our offices there are locked parts where you need a fob to get through. Right.
Mm-hmm.
If I lose my fob or forget my fob, I don't just start kicking the door down and pulling fire alarms.
No, you don't.
I call like Zimmer and I'm like, hey, can you let me in over whatever? Like, that's not what you do. This happens in this office. I've done it a million times. I forget my fob. I do not start breaking down doors and pulling fire alarms. It's just not what we do here.
That is not what we do. So so always we got to get squad members in on these conversations lately.
Sure,
I think we ended last one with AOC here. You know, we have AOC in again and Jamal Bowman, and we're going to get to another one. So congratulations, Joe and Kamala. Yay, way to go. You broke another record. So the new record, Mike, 260,000 migrant encounters at the southern border in September. That's now 2 million plus encounters in 2023 and counting.
That we know about.
That we know about. That's right. That's exactly. That's a very great point. I mean, you could probably go at least another 50,000 a month that you just never even know about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what is
50?
What it is, could what be Mark Daniels always says, oh, the gotaways. I don't even know if they count those gotaways. Like you maybe because they can at least see them, but they get away. But yeah, I mean, this is who we know. We know we're understaffed at the border and they don't care.
Yeah.
We know that it just gets worse and worse and worse. So congratulations, Joe and Kamala. Kamala, the borders are making sure our border is secure. As Ayanna Pressley, the Democrat from Massachusetts, had said. Remember when she was questioned Jake Tapper? He's looking at her like, wait, so you're saying the border is secure? Yes, it is. It is secure. The border is secure. But we need changes. We need you know, they do the same thing. Every time.
I mean, yeah, it's like, you know, those movies or like TV shows where it's like the same premise every show, but they somehow turn it around to be something. It's like like CSI, right? Or like SVU.
Right.
It's like, okay, we get the point. Somebody got murdered or whatever, and then we just got to figure out who it is. That is government, right? Like, okay, they're going to have this problem, and then somebody's going to say this over here, and somebody's going to say this over here, and then there's your plot for the day. And let's see if we can figure it out. That is government to a T at this point, right? And you always say it, especially liberals. We'll create problems, and then we'll be the heroes over here that say we can fix the problems, and we look great, because people can't think for themselves to understand this. The border is the greatest example of this. Let's open the border, and then now let's say, oh, my gosh, the border's too open, or the border is wide open. We need to fix this. Oh, my God, what are we going to do? Well, again, I could do this for free. If you guys didn't have to pay me, New York State, I'll tell you this was a bad idea.
Just think of it. I mean, honestly, if they ran their households, if they maintained anything in their own lives the way they actually perform their job in Washington, they would literally be in the hospital. They'd be a wreck. The cars they maintain would be absolute wrecks. They'd be steaming from not having oil, flat tires. Like, they just don't do anything very well. They don't maintain anything very well in their own lives, except they get pretty rich, right? Dianne Feinstein passes away at 90 years old with how much in net worth? I mean,
90.
Outrageous. So, yeah, so she matched for every year she lived. $1 million of net worth for every year she lived. Congratulations. And God bless her. I mean,
$175,000 salary.
It's very sad when people pass. I'm not trying to disparage that. God rest her soul. But boy, that just is like exactly the problem in Washington. They do everything for themselves. They support themselves, but they don't support us. They don't actually make the hard decisions like securing the border. But if you ask any Democrats, the border is secure. It is. Oh, it's these Republicans not doing immigration reform. It's evil. You know, you're nasty to these people seeking asylum. I mean, you hear it over and over and over. And who do we always hope, Mike, makes a change? Votes, right? Voters. That's what we can only hope for.
I just want to make a point, too. I agree with you. Sadly, you know, God rest her soul and Dianne Feinstein. But $175,000 a year salary, by the way, in 2023 numbers, worth $90 million.
How does that?
And she was in government her whole life. It's not like the Obamas that, like, I know Barack was in government, but for the last 10 years, he has not been in government. He's been in the private sector doing whatever he's doing. So that's a little different to me. Dianne Feinstein was in politics for like 80 years. How are you worth $90 million on that?
I'm telling you, she really made some good choices into the markets, boy.
Yeah.
You know, most people just have to sort of do some consistent dollar cost averaging into the markets and hope that they build up a reasonable nest egg so they can stop working someday. What these people do is they don't even care about the dollar cost averaging thing. They find out information. They take advantage. They basically they do everything that other people know they'd be in prison for years and years and years. And then they get the federal pensions anyway, Mike. I mean, and they don't have to even leave office, even when they have to have someone who is basically a power of attorney, a daughter, doing all her business work for her. So think about that. if you have to have a power of attorney, it means you just can't make sense of the bills you're supposed to pay. You can't read the business documents in your own personal life. So you have to have someone else do that for you. So if you have someone doing that for you, but then you're supposed to report to Congress and actually vote on issues, policies for the American people, who's sitting with her? Who's sitting there to do it? Like, we shouldn't even be calling her Senator Dianne Feinstein. Again, I feel bad for people who now will miss her, but this is just exactly what we're so fed up with, right? 90-year-olds, 80-year-olds with millions, tens of millions of dollars, and in Nancy Pelosi's case, hundreds of millions of dollars.
Mike, and sadly, hundreds of millions. Sadly, with Dianne Feinstein, like, we've known she's been in trouble mentally and physically for a long time, right? And I don't mean mentally like she was losing it crazy. Mentally, like, she could not do her job. She just couldn't handle the workload because there was something wrong, and it was probably something like an Alzheimer's or a dementia or something, right? And that's sad, right? That's sad for her. That's sad for her family. And that's also sad for the voters in her state, because she's obviously not able to do the job she's supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And why, might you ask? Why is that? Because these politicians and these political parties don't want to lose a seat in Congress, right? Like, yeah, it's not about you. It's about us, the people that pay you, right? Like, that's who matters. And that's what pisses me off about that stuff.
And like, it's not even on a personal level. It's not even about these persons like Dianne Feinstein, Mitch McConnell, Joe Biden, like the people in their lives. I've said it. How heartbreaking is it that none of them have any one person who actually loves them to say, okay, you did a great job over these decades. It's time to sit back.
Instead, they push them, Mike.
They push them even harder. Get out of the car, Dianne. Get in the wheelchair, Dianne. You're going to listen to these media. They're going to fire questions at you. You got to answer these questions. Joe, get up to the podium. Mitch, you get up to the podium, too. Don't worry. If you just go blank, someone will be here to make up a story as to why you went blank. Don't worry. It's about us, right? That's what they're saying. Yep. This is about us. You are here for us. You're the puppets. And you're here for us, and we don't care about you. We clearly don't love you, or we wouldn't put you through this every time. It's just brutal.
I I'm laughing because I look at, like, Fetterman's wife, Mike. Like, these people, and Jill Biden even at times, too, they love the spotlight.
Yeah.
They don't care that their spouse is cognitively declining or has issues, right? Nope. Like, it's like, no, this is good, because you push them through, right? And for Americans that vote for these people, too, you're to blame for pushing them through as well.
Right.
We should not have, and I get it, there's not a lot of great, there's not a great bank of political, candidates these days, Mike, right? Like, they're not good. Dr. Oz, that is probably the reason why he lost to Fetterman, because it was Dr. Oz. But, I mean, you can't just vote like, oh, I don't like him, so let me vote over here. No, if that guy can't speak, he probably shouldn't be working for you. Right.
No doubt. Now, just this is more of a public service announcement, Mike. No. I think it's our duty. You know, live in moderation, folks. So it's clear we should all set limits. You know, Bills games, the partying, the tailgating. You have people over. You don't want to overdo it, right? Set some limits. Often Lomas and I have limits, and if we're going to have a beer or a glass of wine, I say, all right, but let's set some limits, Mike, a minimum of two, right? I don't know if that's
exactly. A maximum of, we don't know.
We're not sure, but we do set a limit, minimum of two, because one's just not friendly, right?
No.
You really.
Got to do it.
But anyway, thankfully, I'm bringing this back to New York State. Governor Hochul has decided that limits are actually good now too, Mike. So moderation. Governor, you know, you lead the state. Mm-hmm. Nothing should be excessive.
Okay.
She is now saying that there should actually be a limit, Mike, to who crosses the border. It is, as you said it earlier, boy, you tipped this off. It's too open right now, the border. Oh. Too open.
Oh.
So you describe for me, Mike, what is too open, according to Kathy Hochul?
I'm actually more concerned about the other statement more than the limiting. Like, who do we limit, Mike?
Right. Who?
Like, I don't want to define too open. I want to define, like, who are we limiting? So, like, is that a, I don't know, men? Is it women? Is it children? Is it people that are over 6 feet tall, under 5 feet tall? Like, what are we limiting, right?
Right.
I'm sure race, because the Democrat Party cannot stop talking about race, so I'm sure that will be played into it, right? Mm-hmm. You know, did the article say anything, Mike, of who she says shouldn't come in?
Well, I'll tell you, what I know is going to happen is they'll be the ones to decide, Mike.
Yeah.
They will set the limits, right?
Yeah.
The American people can't decide. I mean, like I said earlier, 260,000 migrant encounters at the southern border in September, a new record. And now Kathy thinks, this is what she says. Well, it's always the blame game, of yeah. course. Well, shame on Speaker McCarthy and the Republicans in Congress, including the nine from New York State, who are complaining like crazy about the migrants, but refuse to work with President Biden and come up with a sensible border strategy.
Wait, Kathy, hold on. Let me, before you continue. Kathy, just 2 weeks ago, you said we have a real problem here, and New York can't sustain this anymore.
Right.
And who opened the border?
Yeah.
Who wanted them here? You. Mayor Adams. That's who wanted them. Sanctuary City, Mike.
Yeah.
Sanctuary State. No big deal. Just bring them here.
She goes on to say, well, we want them to have a limit on who can come across the border. It is too open right now. Yeah, you know how you achieve a limit? You actually close it. You keep people out illegally. Then you limit who comes in. That's how you do it. But the first step was stop the people coming over illegally. That's what you got to do.
I want this notated because this is good news, Mike. So Democrats are now admitting that we can help stop
mm-hmm.
the bleeding at the southern border. This is good. This is the first step in recovery, right? It's like an addict, right? First step in recovery.
Yes.
Okay. You admit there's a problem.
You admit.
Good. Now, second yes. step is like, okay, we should really start shutting this a little bit. Okay, great. Then hopefully, like within, you know, 2 years, we can get to the final step, which is shut the whole freaking thing down, right? Mm-hmm. Close the border, create the wall, that whole thing. That's where we need to get to. I don't know that we will, but I'm confused, Mike. I'm still going back. What is too open mean? Like, how do you stop it? Does it say anything in there?
No.
She has no real plan, obviously.
She, you know, no, it's all about they're all finding their way. It's a real problem for New York City, 125,000. But it's too open. Proud of the fact that New York has the Statue of Liberty. Oh, yes, of course you are. Oh, Congress has to put more controls at the border. Yeah, that means like actually stopping the people from coming in. So just imagine any of these amusement parks across the country, right? Whether it's locally, the Disney Worlds, the Disneylands, the Busch Garden, all these theme parks. If you just simply let people storm the gates, right? What happens? Mm-hmm. Too many people get in. Nobody's paying for anything. The place becomes a wreck. There's probably all sorts of theft, right? Because a lot of times people that would do that, they probably don't have the money to come into the park and pay.
No.
So what are they going to do? They basically take over, and there's crime, and there's evil, and that's what will happen. And this is what's happening at our border. So they have to put more controls in. Okay.
More regulations.
So
Yay.
Border patrol, we actually need to double or quadruple those numbers. No kidding.
Wait, police? We like them? I thought we wanted to defund them.
Remember,
these are the same people, right? Border Patrol, I'm considering police for this argument. Border Patrol, law enforcement. These are the same people that thought that they weren't needed, Mike. That they didn't do anything that was really productive.
No.
Right? And now we're admitting, that just like the we don't need a border wall. That's overrated. Okay. Now all these things are coming to fruition that we knew were going to happen, right? The border was going to be a mess. Americans were going to die from fentanyl. Crime was going to be on the rise. You'd have assaults and things of that nature, like mm-hmm. we've seen in Erie County. I can't stress this enough. Mike, we said this. Mike and Glenn said this. For free. We don't get paid to figure these problems out, but we can help you for free. It's very simple. We need a border, we need a wall, and we need to close down. If you want to do legal immigration, that's fine. I think we all agree on that. Legal immigration is fine.
Yes.
But you cannot just have a wide open door and let anybody that wants to come in, terrorists, drug dealers, rapists, murderers, even good people, Mike. We don't have enough room for 10 million good people. I'm sorry. like, I love good people, but we don't have room for it.
Well, Mayor Eric Adams of New York City, of course, pleading for more money, right? More money. That's what we need. We need more federal assistance. He's now admitting that the new waves of arriving migrants are from African nations, China, and even Russia. Oh, my gosh. Like, if you know that one person came across the border that was from Russia, wouldn't that set off the alarms, Jamal Bowman? I mean, that should set off the alarms on the Democratic side. If one person from Russia, because isn't Russia the problem? I mean, that's really the issue. They've been screaming it for the last 6-7 years.
Yeah.
I mean, so we either need more money and we got to stop these influxes, or he calls it, let's push a decompression strategy. Doesn't that sound wonderful, Mike? Hey, listen, everyone sit down. We're going to talk about a decompression strategy. That's to resettle migrants. Guess where, Mike? Outside the city. As long as they're not in front of me, the problem is gone, right? Right?
It's like your desk, right, with all your work classic today. You're like, all right, if I just move it over there.
if I put it in the shredder, it's gone. It's such an easy solution. Yeah. I actually dream that some days.
Yeah.
I could just get rid of this couple inches worth of paperwork. Yeah. Yeah. Is it really not there then?
Oh, Mrs. Smith called. Okay, if I just forget it, I don't have to call her back. Okay.
Isn't it like the thing where if a tree falls in the woods but no one was there to hear it, did it actually make a sound?
Right.
That's what these Democrats make you feel. They make you feel like you're in some crazy universe where it's like, wait, maybe they're right.
It's the Twilight Zone.
Maybe it is right. I don't know. Maybe, as Glenn always says, left is now right and right is now left. Up is down and down is up. It's like Alice in Wonderland all over again, right? So you don't even have to read the book anymore, Mike. Just live.
Yep.
Live and listen and see it right before your eyes.
Yep.
All right.
Reading,
well, folks.
For fools.
That'll do it, folks. As you know, you can find everything we do, financialguysmedia.com, 3 podcasts a week, and 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:15 to 8:30 morning mics. That'll do it. We appreciate you tuning in. Keep up the good fight. For Mike Sparazza, I'm Mike Hayflick. Thanks for joining us. See you next time.
Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or other use of this show without the express written consent of the Financial Guys LLC is strictly prohibited.
Securities offered through Peak Brokerage Services, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management or Blackridge Asset Management. Financial Guys, Independent Solutions, and Blackridge Asset Management are not an affiliate of Peak Brokerage Services, Inc.